Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
There was once a great man, great in the eyes of his own people and great in the eyes of the world as a military leader. He was successful, he was very brave and noble, but sadly he was a leper. We find the Holy Spirit speaking of him in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And what a blight this must have been, haunting him day and night. Though he was great, though he was noble, no doubt wealthy and powerful, he had leprosy. And there was no doctor in all the land of Syria that could heal him. I'm sure he was confident that he would go down to his grave with that awful disease. But we also find recorded that several companies of Syrians had gone down to the land of Israel, and they had brought back captives. Among those that were captured was a little maid who was selected to wait on Naaman's wife. We do not read much about this little maid, but we know a great deal about her character. She was a kind and considerate person. She was concerned over the welfare of her mistress's husband. She must have been faithful and diligent in her work, for when she spoke to her mistress concerning a possible cure, her mistress believed her. And so this was a courageous and unafraid young lady to profess her faith in God. Now in verse 3 of 2 Kings chapter 5, she said to her mistress, and I read, "Would to God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now, she continued to tell how that Elisha had cared for the poor widow by giving increase of oil and meal throughout a drought. She perhaps told how that the widow's two sons were saved from slavery by the prophet. She might even have told her how Elisha had raised a child of a poor woman from the dead. But regardless of what else she told, she did believe and profess that Elisha could cure Naaman's leprosy, and they listened to her. Well, when Naaman and the king of Syria heard the words of the maiden, the king was so thrilled that he said, "I'll send a letter of recommendation to the king of Israel." He must have thought, as men do today, that if men of authority and power who are great, and if they write something, then surely it will be listened if it's from a king. So we can see this man starting out to the king of Israel with all his letters of introduction, with his gold and his silver that's perhaps amounted to $50,000 worth, and raiments. He had great hopes, but those hopes were soon dashed when he presented the letters to the king of Israel. Those letters frightened the king. He knew that he could not cure Naaman of his leprosy. With all of his power and prestige and honor as the king of Israel, he knew that there was not a thing that he could do for that man's terrible disease. He immediately thought that this was some kind of trick by which the king of Syria would bring war against the land of Israel. And in verse 7 of 2 Kings chapter 5, the Holy Spirit says, "And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.'" So we see the king rent his mantle, he cried out loud, it soon spread throughout all the land, that the king was grieved. Then word came to Elisha, and he sent word unto the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." He would also know that there is a God in Israel, a true God. Well, when Naaman heard these words, he immediately left the king of Israel. He rushed to the home of Elisha. And again the scripture says, "He came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." Well, I don't know anything about the prophet's house, but we're led to believe that it was an unassuming dwelling. And there stands a mighty general of Syria with all of his servants, with his attendants waiting, standing at the door. And perhaps Naaman thought that he was doing Elisha a great favor by calling on him. It was an honor that a man of such influence and such position could come to such a humble abode. And I can picture Naaman as he sent word in Elisha, perhaps with kind of a haughty voice. But do you know what Elisha said? He sent word back that he should go wash himself in the Jordan 7 times. And just imagine, Naaman, a mighty man of honor, man with letters of introduction from none other than the king of Syria himself, and Elisha didn't even come out to see him, but just sent a message for him to go and wash himself in the Jordan, as if to indicate that he had not kept himself clean. And the scripture says in the 11th and 12th verses, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away in a rage. Now I want us to pause here and think for a moment. Naaman was just like all sinners. He said, "Behold, I thought." Naaman came seeking salvation from the leprosy, but he had already made his mind up and he had devised a plan by which he thought he would be cleansed. He said, "I thought." And when Elisha did not propose to do according to his plan, then he became angry. And you know, friends, today men seek salvation, but too many times they come with their own preconceived ideas of the ways in which they want God to save them. And if God's way does not conform to their way, then everything must be wrong and it must be changed. But God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah chapter 55. No man can enter the kingdom of heaven until he gives up his thoughts and gives up his pride and simply obeys the commands of the Lord Jesus. Well, just as Naaman thought that the prophet would come and bow and scrape and perform some mighty act, men today look for something spectacular in connection with their conversion. But God has not commanded anything spectacular. Christ simply said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Just as money and prestige and power and honor could not provide the salvation or the cleansing of Naaman's leprosy, neither today can men obtain salvation from sin on their terms. Sin is nothing but spiritual leprosy, a disease that eats away at the very soul of man. Well, back to Naaman. He left angry because God wouldn't do it his way. But there was a servant who had accompanied Naaman from Syria. And notice how it is that this humble man enters the story, and this humble maiden, who was the servant to Naaman's wife, and the humble prophet Elisha, and this humble servant of Naaman's. The servant said unto his master, "If the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean?" Naaman listened. And that cut to the very core of Naaman's thinking and his arrogance when he said, "Behold, I thought." Now perhaps he begins to think about the fact that he's still suffering leprosy, and nothing that he could do or any doctor could do. And perhaps there passed through Naaman's mind the fact that if Elisha had told him he wanted all of the money he had, he would have gladly given it. Or if he had told him to use some medication for 10 years, he would have maybe done it. But Elisha had simply said, "Go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And so the scripture informs us in the 14th verse, "Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." We see the climax of this marvelous story. For years he had looked, had searched, but he had found no cure. Now a man of God tells him to do such a simple thing, dip himself 7 times in the River Jordan, and now he's cleansed of his leprosy. Was it because of the water? Is there something miraculous about the water in the Jordan River? Why, had not other leper sprouts been cleansed in the River Jordan? No, it wasn't in the water, and there wasn't anything miraculous about it. The power was in the Word of God. And the cure was accomplished only when Naaman was willing to submit himself and humble himself and obey the Word of God. He was a great man of great valor, but he was a leper. and only when he was willing to humble himself and obey the word of the Lord could he be cleansed of his leprosy. Today, friends, I know that there are many good men and women who are listening. There are men and women who are good citizens, good neighbors. But I'm asking you, have you disobeyed the command of God? Have you rejected the counsel of God? Maybe you've never openly done that, but by your manner of life, that's what's happening. Sin will doom us to hell. It'll separate us from God. It will keep us out of heaven. And as a servant of God today, I'm pleading and reading from the Word of God that you humble yourself, that you render obedience to the gospel of Christ, that you repent of your sins, you confess the sweet name of Jesus, you be buried with Him in baptism. The Lord will save you from your sins. He'll add you to His church. Don't die with a spiritual sin of leprosy in your life.